From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Alyssa Bloch.
And I'm Robert Siegel. This week, NPR's Anne Garrows is reporting on changes in Russia through the lens of a city called Chelyabinsk. Today, a look at healthcare. Russia is in a health crisis. The average life expectancy for Russian men is just 59 years. Add to that anemic fertility levels and you get a drop in population. According to the UN, Russia's population could fall by 30% by the middle of the century. President Dmitry Medvedev is determined to reverse that trend. His government is investing more in public health and even offering bonuses worth about $9,500 for mothers who have a second child. Here's Anne Garrow's latest story.
Chelyabinsk is experiencing a baby boom, a result of recent economic improvements here. And Dr. Edward Reben, chairman of the Regional Legislature's Medical Commission, says health care is much better than when I met him in the 1990s.
There's no comparison. Of course, we still don't have what we want. No country does. But under Prime Minister Putin, there is at least a stable health program.
10 years ago, I met Dr. Reben on an airplane from Moscow. He was returning from his first visit to the United States and had a strange thing snaked around his neck. It was a piece of equipment for colonoscopies. He wouldn't put it in his luggage lest this precious gift from an American colleague be lost or stolen. He recalls those desperate times when he had to barter and scrounge for basic medicines.
The factories could not pay their share of the health insurance, so they would give me pipes. I would go to another region and trade them for rice, bring the rice back here, and sell it. All this just to keep my hospital open.
Those frightening times are over, but there's still a shortage of specialists, and diagnostic tools like CAT scans and MRIs are still rare. The wait for a test can be more than 2 months. After a meeting with regional officials, the head of Hospital Number 8 complains about a tangled and unresponsive bureaucracy. Dr. Mikhail Verbitsky is a generally jovial fellow, but he's struggling to pay his staff a decent wage so they'll stay in the profession. He skimps on physical improvements to pay his staff a little extra. The hospital built 60 years ago is in terrible shape. There are still no proper hospital beds. There's a shortage of operating rooms. The hospital is overcrowded with twice as many patients as originally planned. The number of babies born at Hospital 8 has jumped in the past year from 1,200 to 2,000. Good news for Russia, but a real strain on the system. Tanya Kelleher and her American husband Mark produced twins at another hospital where conditions were just as bad.
You have to go to a pharmacy. You have to buy everything that they're going to need. I mean, every IV tube, the stitches, the needles, everything that they're going to use during that birth, you have to buy and supply it.
Yeah, the hospital and just memories and nightmares, you know. You couldn't get in the shower there. It was like one shower for 100 patients or something.
You better have some friends on the outside that'll bring you food, because the food that you get is not even gruel.
In theory, medical care is free, but medicines are not, except for certain groups like invalids and pensioners. And repeated complaints in the press indicate these groups are not getting the medicines they need and have been promised. Dr. Edward Reben acknowledges this is an ongoing problem.
No one will be turned away, but there will always be medicines which are not available at the hospital, and the patient will have to purchase them at a pharmacy.
What has dramatically changed in the past 10 years, though, is the emergence of private clinics. This one is run by Yelena Kanaeva, a much-respected doctor. She specializes in infertility. She now has 3,000 patients.
We have some good doctors here, but they are spread out over various hospitals. You can get a good diagnosis at one hospital, good surgery at another. We try to link all that together, and we try to make the process comfortable.
Given the system of under-the-table payments in state hospitals for expedited care and the provision of certain treatment, this private clinic is really not that much more expensive than so-called free care.
Take in vitro. You usually have to pay for this even in the state system. And until this year, there was no state hospital here in Chelyabinsk that could do in vitro. The doctors still have little experience, so we work with a hospital in another city, which has the best specialists in the country.
Her clinic, spotlessly clean with a rare air of efficiency, is comparable to any Western doctor's office. Many of her physicians, like urologist Grigory Bogdashov, are specialists in the state system who work here one day a week.
At the state hospital, I earn $200 a month, $400 with overtime. Here I can make $200 in 3 hours of work without the mess, the pressure, and the horrible conditions.
Dr. Kanaeva offers her patients preventative care, which she says the state system can no longer afford. Mammograms, for instance, are not routine and done only when a problem arises. She sees too many underweight babies because of smoking, alcohol, and inadequate prenatal care. She worries that too many Russian women still use abortion as a means of birth control. There are still more abortions than live births, with the consequent impact on fertility rates.
It's a sad statistic, but a true one.
Behind her, lining the wall, are snapshots of Chelyabinsk's next generation, the babies she's helped bring into the world. In 5 years, Dr. Kanaeva has made back her initial investment of $200,000. She has plans to expand, though those are now on hold because of the financial crisis. Ann Garrels, NPR News.
Tomorrow, we conclude our series with a report on corruption in Russia.
There are a few people who hold power, and they also hold power over the courts. And they use their power to earn millions of dollars and make sure court cases go the way they want.
That story, our last from Chelyabinsk, tomorrow. And you can hear the other stories, including reports on religion and the Russian economy, at our website, npr.org.